Hey, welcome back, students, and those of you who've listened to the show before, I'm glad you're still with me. If this is the first time you're listening, thanks. I hope you'll be back. I'm D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to episode 056 of the Guitar Technique Tutor Podcast, recorded on November 7th, 2011. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students and all guitarists' playing level and understanding. So here I am, doing my part to spread the excellence, one guitarist at a time. Hey, how was your last 2 weeks? Mine was a mix. I'm glad to have Talia back in my schedule. I felt it was like we hadn't seen each other forever, and it was just since June. It was simply wonderful to see her, and she's getting back into her guitar routine, and I'm glad, and her house is all recovered from the floods of Hurricane Irene, and family's doing great, and I'm just thrilled to have you back, Talia. Someone stopped me in a guitar store last week who knows that I do this podcast, and I knew they knew I did the podcast, but I didn't think they were listening, but obviously they have been, because they asked me if DR strings are really that good. And of course, I took a few minutes and shared the DR love with them. Yes, I love, 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 love my DRs. If you try them, you will too. 2 weekends ago, we had a nor'easter here in the New York metro area. It was uncharacteristic, and the comparative small snowfall, which we had about 7 or 8 inches, some areas got up to 15 or as little as 4 inches, the damage sustained was massive. We have friends whose power, which was lost a week ago Saturday, didn't have it back until the following Friday. Some still don't have it back. Here in northern New Jersey, the trees haven't dropped their leaves yet, and the snow was heavy and wet. The flakes were ginormous, and in my area anyway, we're surrounded by huge old-growth trees. There's none of this new landscaping here. This area has been cut out of woods. So as you drove past, trees were split in half. There were gigantic loose branches the size of trees on the ground, and of course, power lines went down and transformers blew. We were totally blessed to have just had a momentary power surge and a bit of cable TV pixelation, but it was a murderous storm. I mean, there was so much, people died because they had generators on or wires sparked fires that engulfed their homes. I mean, there were some deaths, not a large number, but man, it was like nothing I've seen recently as far as snow issues. I mean, the problem was that the leaves were still on the trees. Just dreadful. I had a long-planned big event scheduled for that Saturday night. The snow started early Saturday, maybe around 11 or noon, and the event I was planning to attend was canceled about an hour and a half before it was supposed to begin. I know a lot of people were disappointed, but although I was looking forward to attending it, I have to say I couldn't have been happier, and I couldn't wait to get comfortable, get out of my dress clothes, and snuggle on the couch and wait out the storm watching a couple of episodes of The Closer and whatever else followed those reruns. We're big Closer fans in this house. Anyway, because of the far-reaching effects of the October 29th storm, several students last week didn't have their lessons because they didn't have power, and many were staying with relatives and just in other towns. So this week, Arno is in the spotlight by himself. We have news from the Gresh Company about a great, fabulous, fabulous giveaway. The question of the week was from a former student, Tommy, and I'm going to pinpoint about relative minors and relative majors. And my take note topic this week is guys and their eyes. So without any further ado, I have to say I missed being behind this microphone. It was great to have captured a little free time, but, you know, I miss doing this show. It's really part of my routine. I hope it's helpful to you and that you learn something or are entertained when you listen. So without any further ado, let's move over to this week's Spotlight. In the warm glow of the student spotlight this week, there is one solitary student, and that is Arno. Great work, dude. Your new speed study was exponentially better than the previous week. Don't let the period of adjusting from one you have mastered and moving on to a new one distract you or make you think that you aren't playing well. Think about how long you worked on that previous one. All that practiced reflex had to be put away, and your ear and fingers both had to get realigned to the new exercise. You did excellently. I know you spent a lot of time, and it looks like you've overcome the reflex of the former study, and that's one of the reasons why we don't do the same study constantly. For you people who are working on speed studies and you're making very good progress, set a goal speed on the metronome at which you will consider it mastered, and then don't just keep playing it. Once you've reached your goal speed, what you should do is replace it with another one that you have to work up to a goal speed. I mean, you're not going to lose the profit of having attained the speed. You will have completed a task, and then it's time for a new skill set. So I know some of you students who are not in the spotlight were away from home during the past week, or weeks even, whether it was without a guitar or whether you were home and it was just too darn cold to play until you were re-blessed with your heat. So get back to playing. Don't be surprised to find that you may have lost a little bit of your chops. That's totally predictable if you spent some time away. Time lost is ultra fine skills dulled. So it will come back if you return to regular practice routine. So Arno, great job. Everybody else, let's get back with the program. And now it's time to move along to this week's question of the week. Question of the week this week wasn't really in the form of a question, but it's worth mentioning. It's from a former student, Tommy, who I just saw yesterday morning, and it was great to see him, and it was totally a surprise. I didn't expect to see him till around Thanksgiving. He's gone off to college, and he's a performing arts major. He's having a theory test today, probably as I record, so of course I quizzed him. I hope he did a little more studying than what he had done up to yesterday morning. He'd have scored about an 85 if my quiz was a test and if it were sufficiently encompassing for his material. The question came up about relative minors and recalling what each major key's relative minor is. When I asked him how he remembers, he said something like, that he remembers that F's minor is D and that G's minor is E, and somehow he modifies all the others he has to identify based on some kind of calculation. Well, in my quizzing him, his method was not accurate, so he asked if there was a better way to remember, and I'm glad he asked because he was not going to do well for those questions on his test, especially when you add in a time factor and the general stress that occurs when you're taking something that counts like a test. You know, you tend to sometimes make a careless mistake here or there or just not reason so clearly. And Tommy is subject to that. I have seen him under pressure in lessons, and I know precisely what he's able to do, and I have a good idea of what he does when I'm not with him, but when he's under the scrutiny of an instructor, he doesn't do as well, which is a common occurrence. So all those things being equal, I discussed with him what I thought he should do about his recall of relative minors and majors. Most musicians who are experienced know the major keys and their relative minor keys sheerly by virtue of use. They've played the key of C sharp minor so many times and know it shares its key signature with the key of E. Or they have played so many chord progressions and they have learned the sound of a relative minor chord as it occurs in a major key. But as a young not very experienced musician, Tommy and many others need some kind of mnemonic device or some kind of aid in being able to determine what a major key's relative minor key is and vice versa. Something quick that isn't having actually memorized what each one is. There's a limit to how much you can memorize, and this can be done without memorizing each specific one. The method I gave him requires just that you know a few basic musical things. You need to know what a third is, and you need to have a reference or know what each major key's key signature is. And if you know those things, you can correctly identify any major's relative minor and conversely any minor's relative major. Customarily, students are instructed that the relative minor key or scale begins on the sixth note of the major scale. And so it does. But that doesn't mean a whole lot to a struggling theory student who will be up against a clock when they take a test. Counting six notes up, every scale to find its relative minor, and the reverse will work. But there's room for an error because it's six notes, you're not counting two notes away. And the quicker and always accurate way is to envision the first note of the major scale on the music staff. So you do have to know how to read music for this. I'm just taking that as a given. Since the relative minor begins on the sixth note of a scale, and since I'm telling you as an absolute fact that in music a sixth inverts into a third, keep in mind now the relative minor begins on the sixth note ascending of the major scale. We can find the very same note by descending by a third from the original note. Now, the great benefit of determining a relative minor in this way is that a third is extremely easy to visualize on a staff. Okay, so let's say you're looking for the relative minor of the key of F. Envision an F on the bottom space of the staff, right? It's that very bottom space, the F of F-A-C-E, that the space notes spell if you're looking for a mnemonic device for that. A third in music is indicated by a space note and a consecutive space note, or a line note and a consecutive line note. We're talking about a third, which is an interval. You need two different notes to accomplish the interval of a third. So, imagine the F on the bottom space of the staff. A third is the space below that F. The relative minor to F is D minor. Let's try the same exercise using F on the top line of the staff. So, F is the top line of the staff. The line directly below that line is D. So, D minor still is the relative minor. The only little caveat or hitch here is that you must know the key signature of the major scale in order to be totally accurate. So, what's the relative minor to the key of A? Well, let's imagine A on, say, the second space of the staff. That's working from the bottom up. Well, top down too, but I always am talking in terms of the bottom. So, A is on the second space of the staff. The space below A is F. But, and it's a really big but, in the key of A, there are three sharps, F, C, and G. So the correct answer to the question of what is relative minor to the key of A major is F sharp minor. We've just done that third below, but we have to incorporate the key signature to the key of A. All right, so I hope Tommy brushed up on his key signatures and his major and minor varieties of seventh chords and all the other things that his tests was going to include. And I really hope he completely embraced my no-fail way of determining relative major and relative minor. I hope he did, and I'm happily awaiting news of how his test went. Speaking of news, let's move along to this week's news segment. The news this week is from Gresh Guitars. It's my delight to have news from that prestigious and wonderful guitar maker. And I think next week's news may be from Gresh as well. I saw something interesting that I want to mention, and I might do it next week. So I'm not drinking Gresh Kool-Aid or overdosing on Gresh, but we might have Gresh for 2 weeks in a row. Anyway, the big news here is that Gresh is inviting you to enter a very special giveaway in which one extremely lucky person will be chosen as the grand prize winner of a G6128T GH George Harrison Signature Duo Jet Guitar, along with a copy of George Harrison Living in the Material World, the companion book to the documentary by Oscar-winning filmmaker Martin Scorsese. I'm going to tell you a little about the guitar and a little bit about the book. Let's take the book first. The book was written by Olivia Harrison, George's wife, not his first wife, for those of you who remember the early Beatle days. George's first wife was the supermodel Patty Boyd. They had quite a riotous life together, very brief marriage. And in 78, he married Olivia, and she was his wife until his passing. I think they together had one son, Danny, spelled with an H. There might have been other children, but that's the only one I've heard of. Anyway, Olivia's pretty well known in the philanthropic circles, and there is a UNICEF or UN, I guess it's UNICEF charity that is in George Harrison's name that she runs, sponsors, oversees. I don't know exactly what the right term is. But anyway, the book is gigantic. It's 400 pages. And it has items of his personal archives, photos, letters, diaries, memorabilia, and all sorts of stuff. So it's a very detailed book, and it's a good insight into the entire life of George Harrison. On a side note, I'm sorry to have said that the day before our amazing storm here in the New York metro area, Olivia was signing books at one of the Barnes & Nobles in Manhattan, and honestly, had I known, I might have tried to get over there. I'm sure it was wonderful. I haven't heard anything or read anything about it, but she was signing books, and she was also going to be interviewed at that time by a musician regarding this particular book. And I want to say maybe the musician who was going to interview her to discuss the book was maybe Warren Zanes, but I'm not absolutely sure. Anyway, all right, that's about the book. It's a great book. The guitar, which is perhaps more interesting to you, is a black, beautiful black Gresh based on the late 50s Gresh model that George Harrison often referred to as his quote-unquote first real decent guitar. I don't know if you've had an experience like that. My quote-unquote first real decent guitar was a really nice American-made Epiphone, which I only parted with a few years ago, and got a righteous price for. My very first guitar, it probably wasn't plywood, but it was some really, really crummy wood. It was surely not a tone wood. And, I'm sorry if you hear helicopters overhead. I have my window cracked. Anyway, so the guitar is a beautiful black one. And I'm going to close that window because it's just too much. It's a black version. It's just a beauty. I will link to a picture of it, as well as I will put a link to the giveaway details on my show notes. And the winner will also get this book, the beautiful book. And there will be 5 second prize winners who will each receive a copy of the book. If you'd like to take a look at George Harrison's original duo jet, it is now at the Grammy Museum in L.A. So you can take a look there. For all I know, they might even have a picture of it online, but I don't know. Most museums don't publish photographs so that you will go to the museum and see whatever it is you're interested in. The giveaway is open to U.S. and Canadian residents. You will have until mid-December to enter, and as is my custom, I have to put this reminder in. You who listen, if you are under 18, please check with your parents or guardian before you enter to win. It does require you to put some information in a form on the website, and I can't imagine that there will be any negative fallout from the iconic Gresh Guitar Company. I mean, this is not Joe and Al's or some fly-by-night strangely located knockoff website. This is truly from Gresh Guitar. So I don't think there's going to be any problem, but I'm giving you a strong recommendation to check with adults if you're under 18 before you fill in any information online. Also, just be very certain your security on your computer's great. If any of you, my dear listeners, wins, I want to hear about it. Email me and perhaps we'll do an interview for the podcast. Okay, all this will be linked to in the show notes. Now it's time to move along to the Take Note segment for this week. This week, my take note topic is guys and their eyes. This is mainly targeted for males, but chicks, don't check out. You can listen too. You may find yourself committing the same infractions as the dudes do. And this won't be scathing, but I hope you hear the exasperation in my voice. We all know guys are extremely visual. Women especially know that guys are extremely visual. Sometimes that works to our detriment, and sometimes it works to their detriment. I know, fellas, this is how you're wired, but if you don't take some intentional steps to open the gates through which you process information, you are not going to grow musically. I worked with a couple of students this past week who were so hung up on looking rather than listening that it was definitely to their detriment. They are invariably interested in learning to play something that they have found on a video on YouTube, for example. And that's where their ears turn off and their eyes are the only port through which any information flows. Now, dudes, if you're in the sound of my voice and you do this, stop it! I know some of my tenaciously visual male students think, incorrectly by the way, that I think that they are somehow quote-unquote cheating when they try to learn something from a YouTube video. Cheating schmeeting, it has nothing to do with cheating. The problem is that they tend to use their eyes exclusively to learn what they should learn through their ears. I have the same issue with electronic tuners. It's not that they're an easy way to tune, and I want my students to put out effort, although I do want them to put out effort. The problem is with an electronic tuner, your eye is looking at the color of a light. It has nothing to do with what sound you're playing, and that's seriously problematic. It's not that those tuners are an easy way. I want my students to hear what's going on. I know I beat it to death, but obviously from my nearest and dearest students, they don't take heed. And I assume you, my listeners, may be the same way and just give mental assent to what I'm saying if I'm lucky, but you don't actually implement my advice because it's a departure from what you're used to or from your routine or from your habit or from what's you think is easy or comfortable. So here I go again. I don't care if you have a photographic memory. You cannot become a good guitarist or any other kind of musician if you can't hear what you're playing or what you aspire to play. The stuff you're working on isn't just a progression of tab numbers or a succession of notes on a staff or a series of moves on the neck. What music is sound that has pitch, duration, and timbre. That's the definition of music. It's regular as opposed to irregular vibrations, which include pitch, duration, and timbre. If musicians always thought of music as that, pitch, duration, and timbre, I would never hear a student play a piece of music with seriously incorrect or non-existent timing. I would never see a student practice and continuously play an A string C sharp when they mean to play a D string F sharp because they went to the generally correct place on the neck but couldn't hear that the difference between an F sharp and a C sharp and that they don't sound anything alike. I would never hear a student's lesson severely lacking progress in spite of their having spent quote unquote enough time practicing but not listening. I guess this slightly springboards off the engage topic I had in the last podcast. Not only does the brain need to engage in general, but the ears are as important as the fingers are for guitarists. And I mean, I can't even think of an instrument where the ears are not as important as whatever your fingers or hands or breath are doing. Don't be so concerned for how it looks. YouTube is a blessing and a curse. Don't get me wrong, I'm not against, you know, looking at videos. But if you're trying to learn something, for those of you who cannot overcome the urge to copy what you see without hearing and understanding it, it's a big problem. It's a bigger problem now than I've ever encountered ever before, and I've been teaching a long, 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 long time. I have found also that it's even a bigger stumbling block for my lefty students, who, by the way, all play righty. I am forever threatening to put a bag over students' heads if they don't close their eyes or look away. I often have them look out a window when I play something for them to hear, because I don't want them to just mimic what I physically do. My demonstration is rarely for them to see. Occasionally it is, but that's rare. Listeners, don't shortchange yourselves. You're putting in the time, you have the passion, so add to it the will to fully experience your music. And that means through your ears to learn it and through your ears to master its nuances. Thank you. I hope I don't ever have to say it again. I mean, it's hoping against hope. But anyway, that little tirade wraps up this week's segments of episode 056. Let's move along to the outro and wrap this baby up. During the time I was recording, I received a text from Tommy stating the theory test was extremely easy. Great. I replied, so you aced it? You know me, I can't leave that alone. It took an unusual amount of time for him to reply to me, and I'm hoping that was just because he was busy doing something. His eventual answer was yes. So good, I am exceedingly happy. Whether you are a student being tested or a musician who's uninformed or rusty about relative minors, just descend a third to find any major key's relative minor, and conversely, ascend a third to find any minor key's relative major. You just need to keep in mind their key signature. Beautiful work, Arna. I know you're between jobs, and it will be very soon that you're back working for the man and in the daily grind. Your consistency, whether you're working or unemployed, is admirable. Keep it going. You just have done beautifully these past couple of weeks. There's a new book out by Olivia Harrison about George, and Gresh is giving away their G6128TGH, George Harrison's signature duo jet guitar, along with a copy of George Harrison Living in the Material World by his wife Olivia. It's the companion book to the documentary by Martin Scorsese. Please, 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 please refrain from neglecting your eyes as you learn and practice and perform. For the love of your axe or axes, humidify. Now that the heat is on in our wee living space, I have had to re-wet my humidifiers much more frequently. Students and valued listeners, I want to thank you once again for your time and for joining me for episode 056 of the Guitar Technique Tutor Podcast. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, correctional, or entertaining. I will include links to everything I mentioned that I think you might like to explore further in the show notes. Don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com, all spelled traditionally, and that's GUITARTECHNIQUETUTOR.com. And you can always reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please note that there is no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me if you have a question for this week's or for any week's Question of the Week segment. If I use your question, I will be delighted to contact you and send you a Guitar Technique Tutor Podcast picture. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique. I don't tweet a whole lot, but I do tweet and update guitar-y things that I'm involved with, and I retweet from those who I follow anything I think that's interesting. On my homepage and the podcast page of my website, you'll find links to subscribe to the podcast in a variety of ways and or to subscribe to the show notes by email or a reader. And of course, you always have the choice to just listen to the podcast while at my website. You can do that as well. You don't have to subscribe to it in any way, shape, or form. If you are seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in the Bergen and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glenrock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hilburn, Mahwah, Midland Park, Montebello, Montvale, Oakland, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Upper Saddle River, Walworth, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wycross, please contact me. For listening, calling is always the best, and my name is on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. Practice, have a great week, and until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time.